God bless you.
About 55 years ago, Anderson camp meeting, a fellow from Kent come over from England by the name of Larmore. He was pastor in Birkenhead, England, and came over and they asked Brother Larmore to preach in camp meeting. He was a little fellow and he was scared about as bad as I am tonight. He got up and he looked the crowd over. You'd have to know Brother Larmore, but he said, I'm going to tell you a story. He said there was a carriage driver or a bishop over in England and said every Sunday morning he would take this bishop to where he's going to preach. And he said this particular morning the bishop called and said, I can't make it. I'm sick. And you go get old brother so-and-so and way off there. Said you go early and get him and he'll fill in. Said he'll be ready. He won't know, doesn't know you're coming, but said you go get him. Well, he said he started down the road, and he said he decided that's too far to go. And besides, I've watched this preacher do that so many times, I could do it with my eyes shut. So he just decided he'd do the preaching. He went down there, and they had the preliminaries, and he got time, and he got up in front of the crowd like I am. His knees were knocking. And he said he looked out, and he said, well, I just might as well tell them the truth. So he told them what he had done. He was supposed to go get this other preacher, and he didn't do it, and I'm going to try to preach. And he looked at the crowd, and he said, if any of you think you can do it any better, come on up here. Well, nobody's coming, so I guess I will. It's hard enough to preach, but with Frank Curtis and Charlie Heater sitting on the front row looking at you, it doesn't make it any easier. I know it, brother. Revival of soul winning. I don't think you can pinpoint it and say any one thing brings a revival of soul winning. Webster, I looked it up, and I know these steering committee, they looked Webster up probably before they decided on the topic. Webster says that revival means restoring to life. In other words, they think where you're either almost dead or you're dying. That's what I deducted from it. I don't know. It's also, Webster says it is an awakening in the church. Brother, I believe if ever the church needed an awakening, it's today. The first thing I thought about when, if you don't like my sermon tonight, don't tell me about it, tell Charlie Heater. It's his fault. First thing I thought about was Josiah. A boy came, but he was doing what was right. He must have had a godly mother because his dad wasn't worth a plug nickel. Oh, I mean, true. And Josiah came to power, and he started cleaning up things. He started burning down, cutting down the groves and tearing up the false altars and so on. And he gave orders to go down to the temple and clean the temple up. It needs some paint done. It needs some repairs done on it. They hadn't been down there very long until someone ran across a scroll. It had been lost, evidently, for a long time. And they read it, and they said, the king ought to hear about this. So they took the scroll and read it to the king, and he was upset to no end. He called a congregation of the people and went down to the temple and read the scroll to them. And he rent his clothes and said, God is not pleased. And as a result, revival, not a revival as we know it, but there was a spiritual awakening in Israel. That says to me that the first thing for revival, we need to get back to the scroll. Brother, we've tried everything in this generation except the simple word of God. And I believe if we're going to have a revival, we've got to get back. Josiah, like I was telling you, he cleaned the house and then he said, I want all of these vessels to the pagan gods, and they had made many of them to the pagan gods and were storing them in the temple. He said, I want them out here. Destroy them. Everything that was not supposed to be there, he took out. And God came back with his presence. To have a soul burden, sometimes I think we're going to have to clean house. Now, I know you don't want me to tell you. I'm going to anyway. First of all, we need to get back to the Bible. We've tried every Tom, Dick, and Harry come down the pike out there, his ideas in the church, to grow it, to make it better, to raise more money, you name it. We've tried it. And where have we gotten? Brother, if we read the scriptures, it will do the same thing for us as it did Josiah and the Israelites back then. Why did this Reformation movement? Now, I'm not going to preach about the Methodists and Baptists. Right now I'm not. I'm going to talk Church of God folks. Why did this Reformation movement come into existence to start with? Brother, we had a message. A message got them. You see, if you have it, you can control it. If it gets you, it controls you. And there was a message from the Bible that got a hold of these men and women. And brother, it made a change in them. And they were never the same. They were willing to die for it. They were willing to give their all, and they did. D.S. Warner died at, 53, 54 years age? You know what? He literally killed himself preaching the gospel. He had consumption and he wouldn't take time to get well. He wanted to tell others about Christ. Oh, that if that burning desire could get hold of us tonight, church, we would see a revival. And I don't believe we're going to see one until it does. One thing about those early reformers, they refused to compromise. You know, I marvel how some of them, they were so close to agreeing with others, but they refused to compromise to agree with them. Ooh, you're getting quiet now. We're talking today. Now, let's don't talk about our differences with the Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians. Let's talk about how we're alike. You know I'm telling you the truth, preachers. Come on now. I'm not preaching to the layman. I'm preaching to preachers. Oh, let's talk how we're alike and how that we can agree and how that we ought to get along. I say baloney. I say baloney a lot in my sermons. You know what baloney is, don't you? They tell me it's everything else that's left over that they can't use anywhere else. They put it together and ground it up and put a lot of salt with it and sell it for baloney. That's what a lot of us got trying to peddle out there, a lot of baloney. We don't want to talk about our differences. I wish some of you had been with Jesus. Well, the Pharisees would have made him the chief among them. Did they not both agree on heaven? Didn't they both agree in angels? Come on now, say amen. They both agreed in life after. Look at all the things they agreed on. And he looked at me and said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, y'all going to perish. Isn't that what he said? Huh? He didn't talk about what they agreed on. He talked about what they didn't agree on. Now maybe we ought to practice that a little bit. You see, God honored our pioneers and their work. He blessed them in spite of it. I know they had problems. No more than we've got today, though. I might mention some of our problems after a while. When we pastors get revived, I don't know, how do you give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a dying pastor? If you want to know, see Charlie Heater, I don't know. But when we preachers get revived, we'll start preaching all the gospel. Then the congregation will get revived. You want to know why your congregation's dead? It's because you're dead. Now, it's the truth. You know I'm telling you. If you'll swallow real hard, it'll go down easier. You know I'm telling you the truth. We need to preach all the New Testament. I get so tired of these preachers. Well, I preach what I want to. I'll get to that in a little bit. I haven't read my scripture yet. And I'm going to tell, honey, I'm not making them laugh. My wife said, you get up there and be serious. And I'm doing my best, honey. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22, I want you to listen to what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it ought to waken some of us up. Let me get my... My knees are still shaking. Said, ye men of Israel. Now this was, Peter has been preaching the sermon on Pentecost. And I'm Pentecostal. Told a woman that one time, she got all excited, was going to talk in tongues, wonder what time, if I can speak. No, that's not Pentecostal. Dummy, don't you know what Pentecostal is? That's 50. Well, anyway. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Peter, listen. I can see him pointing his bony finger under those people's nose. Thousands of them. And he said, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you, this is what he says now, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Brother, he didn't merely mouth around about it. Well, let me jump on down here. Jump down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you, think of it now, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I'll tell you what we do today. We tiptoe all around it. We don't want to hurt the feelings. We want them to say good things about us when it's all over. Come on now. And then we wonder what's the matter. Brother Peter didn't merely mouth around about it. He told them what was what. And it brought conviction. Now, if you want a revival, I believe that's the way to have it. You see, there's a big difference, and we preachers, we get a sermon every weekend. There's a big difference in getting a sermon and a message. A sermon, that's all right. It has good things. But a message is something you cannot keep. You've got to share it regardless. You've got to tell it regardless. If they like it, okay. If they don't, okay. If they agree with you, okay. If they don't, okay. Brother, what the church needs today is a message that will not keep when it comes to soul winning. Bill Kay told me a while ago, about 30 minutes ago, he said, "Now you stay on the subject. Ray, stay on the subject." I said, "I'm going to try." Remember Josiah? He found the scripture. And brother, when he found the scripture, he found out they weren't living by it. And he said, "We're going to live by it regardless." And they did. And God blessed. Today, the church and the preachers need to get back to the Word of God. We've got preachers that's in the pulpit. They never preach on sanctification. Fire him. Send him off to, well, whichever church down the road that don't believe in it. I'm serious, folks. They won't preach on, you know why? Because some of them don't want to measure up. I don't understand it. Well, bless your heart, quit preaching until you do understand it. Who in the world would want a doctor to come doctor them that hadn't studied what he was doctoring you for? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense with me having a preacher preach to you that doesn't know what he's talking about either. Holiness. Not very many preach on holiness anymore either. Why not? Well, you know, Brother Wyatt, they just don't accept it anymore. You know why? Because the preacher's not preaching it. Hey, you laymen, say amen back there, because I'm giving it to the preacher right now. Hey, you know I'm telling you the truth. Well, not all of them will measure up, but oh, look at the two or three that will measure up what you'll have. Preach on the kingdom of God. No, we don't preach on that because there's so much confusion on it. I've had preachers tell me, oh, it is so confusing. We just don't preach on that. Well, bless your heart. The devils will confuse you on any subject if you let him. There's no excuse, folks. We're going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds that we have done, the preaching that we've done right here. And if we don't preach the whole counsel of God, who do you think God's going to hold accountable for? Well, let me get on to another thing too. That unknown tongue thing. How am I doing, Bill? Okay. That unknown tongue thing. Coming in some congregations. Shame on you. Letting it come in to start with. I'll not do it. I started speaking a little bit of Japanese out of knowing. See how many of you get in the spirit with me. I did that one time in one of my congregations, and a fellow sitting on the third row right about there. He was sitting, he got up on the edge of his seat, and I was saying, "Did you need songs?" He called, "Oh, you do, I can hit you on you," and all that. And he said, he got, and I looked at him, and he, I said, "Brother Spinks, you can sit back in your seat now." When I finished, he said, "I said, what was you thinking?" He said, "Brother, I thought you got it for sure this morning." Listen, church, if it's right, let's join them. And if it's not, let's say so and stand against the damnable stuff. It's dividing God's people. Oh, you say, now that's not. Yes, it is, too. Yes, it is. It's high time that we stand against the things that are not of God. And that's one of them. Now you say, well, what about the Bible? What about it? You show me where it is in the Bible. I double dare you to. When I was growing up, you take a dare, but you never take a double dare. You see, if we just would stop a little bit, preachers, and see, God's word is so simple. There's nothing confusing about it if we leave it like it is. Some say, well, I'm not just a doctrinal preacher. Well, bless your heart, if you're not a doctrinal preacher, now listen to me, you're not a Church of God preacher. And I didn't stutter when I said that either. Brother, you've got to be a doctrinal preacher if God calls you. Take your shingle down and go somewhere where they just, well, you can join that fellow down in Texas. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the teachings of the New Testament, brother, listen to this. There is absolutely nothing that's optional in the Word of God. We've got the idea in the Church of God that we can take what we like and leave what we don't like, and it's nobody's business. Well, I'm going to make it some of my business right now. Let me tell you something, friend. There is nothing that you have a choice to take and to leave. If you're not preaching doctrinal sermons, you might as well take Sears and Roebuck catalog into the pulpit with you and preach out of it. Bill's still shaking his head. It's okay. With no vision, souls will perish. I'm still on the subject. With no vision, listen, there'll be no revival. With no vision, we're not going to accomplish anything for Christ. You see, we have substituted in the Church of God a soul burden for 101 things. Oh, you don't know what? Okay, I'll tell you what I mean. Recreation. We got to win them by recreation. Now listen, I'm too old to play ball. I'm a little past 50. I'm too old to play ball, but I know kids want to play ball. I'm not against recreation. But brother, that's not the way to win souls to Christ. I don't care how young they are. Old J.H. Burchett. Any of you know J.H. Burchett? Brother, he was my pastor when I was a teenager growing up. He didn't cut any corners for anybody. That's why I am what I am today. I tell you, friend, well, let me mention two or three other things before I get off this. We have built bigger and better buildings to get people in. When the one you got isn't half full. We substituted that for a soul burden. Brother, get down to business with God and pray for souls and fill the one up you've got. And then we need an eloquent preacher, you know. It's always preacher's fault, Laban. If he'd preach better, we'd have more people come. Well, I'm doing the best I can, and we still got some empty seats. Huh? We want eloquent preachers. Want educated preachers. I tell you what, old Dr. Kardasky said one time, and I've never forgotten it. He said, fellas, let me tell you something. You get an education, but an education without an experience of salvation, you're nothing but an educated fool. And I've never forgotten that. I don't want to be a fool. Takes more than an education, friend. And then we got into this loud stuff. The louder the mic is, the more spiritual we are. Man, we had a spiritual meeting. I couldn't even, man, it just drowned the chair out the way. Well, baloney. Then we got our bands. Got a band and put them in a corner with a glass hut over top of them because of so much noise we couldn't stand it. And let those four fellas stay in there with all that beating and screaming and carrying on by themselves. That's not a soul burden. You don't get a soul burden through that. Huh? And then we build our banquet halls. Now you look at Charlie Heaton, you can see he likes to eat. But I'm here to tell you, folks. Go on. Listen to me, not Charlie. Listen. Our greasy chicken and our sugary sweets will not win souls. Jesus Christ has to win them. Now, I'm not against having a chicken dinner. I love it. My wife gets after me every time I want to have one at our church. And I'd have one every week if she'd let me. But, brother, that's not the way you build the kingdom of God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with these things I mentioned. But, brother, we've substituted them for a soul burden. And there is no substitute for a soul burden. Where's the godly sorrow for our sins? We have rearranged our church buildings. We've taken the pews out and put seats in. We've taken the altars out a lot of places. We've done everything you can think of, trying to make it look more like the world. That's all in the world we're doing. Trying to substitute that for a soul burden. Brother, that's not it. What brings a revival? Josiah, he cleaned house to start with. I believe sometimes house cleaning is in order. Put the word of God back in the place where it belongs. Preach it from the pulpit. If they want to hear it, okay. If they don't, okay. Man, listen. Trust the Lord. I'm pastoring one of the best congregations I've ever had. And somebody told me I was 78 years old and said, "You're old enough to retire." And my wife agreed with him. And I retired for 5 weeks, I think it was, wasn't it, honey? 5 weeks. And I found the church where I am now and been there ever since. They, let me tell you this, went the first Sunday and their pastor resigned that week and he said, "Can you come and take care of a Wednesday night?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll be there Wednesday." And went and took care of it. And they said, "Can you come back Sunday?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not doing anything. I can come back Sunday." Sunday afternoon, the board met and they said, "Hey, can we vote on you for our pastor?" I said, "No, you can't vote on me. You don't even know me." Brother Rice sitting back there, he'll tell you that's what I told him. I said, "You don't even know." They said, "No, but we like what we hear." I said, "You're going to have to hear a lot more before you vote on me." Been there ever since. Church, let me tell you, there's a famine, not only out yonder, but in here, in a lot of our Church of Gods. Most Church of God don't even know the difference in Protestantism and the Church of God. Most of our Church of Gods don't know the difference in eternal security and backsliding. You know I'm telling you the truth. They don't know the difference in holy water and holy living. You know it. And yet we're not doing anything about it. They don't know the difference in pre-millennial, post-millennial. And then Dick Bradley comes along with pan-millennium. If you don't know what that is, Dick's over here, so you ask him after a while what it is. Then I hear these preachers say, "Well, we all have our own opinions." That is a lie of the devil. You show me, I got to stay behind this thing, I didn't put one of those on. You show me where the chapter and the verse is that says you have a right to your opinion. "Well, we all don't see it like baloney." You know what baloney is now? "Well, you know, we're different." Baloney. Let me ask you something. I've used this illustration before, but let me ask you something. If you think you have a right to your own opinion, let's say this is a math book and you have one like it. And I've got to stay back here. And you have one like it and we open it up and it says 2 and 2 is 4. I say, "No, I don't want that. 2 and 2 is 5. Huh? We got the same math book, haven't we? Do you have a right to your opinion? Find me a math teacher say you have a right to your opinion on math. Or let's say you're an electrician. We get the electrical manual out and you begin to look at it and, "Well, I tell you what, I want to hook the white and black wires together in my house. Huh? Well, I have a right to my opinion, don't I? Sounds like some of you Church of God preachers have a right to your opinion. Or take a mechanic. Get a mechanical book for your automobile out, and he wants to hook your wires up one way, and the manual says another way. Well, he says, I believe this way it ought to be. It makes more sense to do that than it is to say that you have a right or I have a right to my opinion. Where in the world did we have the devil ever pawn that lie off on the Church of God that you or anybody else has a right to their opinion? Ooh, you're getting quiet now. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you want it or not. I tell you, if you'll swallow real good, it's easy to take. You see, this is why we have so much confusion. Take the Bible for what it is. There's no confusion there. It's only when we want to take out what we like and leave what we don't like that we get confused. And I believe as sure as I'm standing here, we want to see a revival. We want to see a soul burn. We need to get back to all of the simple word of God just like it is. Nothing else. Isaiah said, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With voice together shall they sing. Now, where's Jimmy? Jimmy, can I sing with you if you're on one song and I'm on another one? What'd you say? Yes, sir. Oh, I just wanted him to speak up there. All right. With voices together they sing. In other words, we're going to be singing the same tune on the same page. Now listen to what else Isaiah said. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. There is no excuse for any confusion when it comes to the Word of God. Now if there is, you show me in the Word and I'll believe it. But don't come tell me this what I think. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what the Word says. You see, God's Word is so plain. When an old country boy like me can understand it, I don't know what your excuse is. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they had a message. On the day of Pentecost, their message brought conviction. Church, when we get on the right page with the right message, there will be conviction come automatically. When Peter was preaching there, they cried out and interrupted him. What must we do to be saved? In other words, let me paraphrase that my style. What do we have to do to get what you've got? Huh? I wouldn't want what some folks have. I didn't say you, but you can figure it out. But this is what they was craving. What do we have to do to get what you've got? And Peter told him, first of all, repent. He didn't say, now, everybody just bow your heads, and if you want to repent, hold up your hand just real easy. And, God bless that hand there, and God bless that hand. Keep your heads down now. Keep your eyes closed so you won't embarrass anybody. Baloney. You see, in the Church of God, we've not only lost our burden, but we've substituted a lot of things for it. Little, if any, difference in our congregations of the Church of God and the majority of the denominations around us. I'll say it again, you didn't hear it. There's little difference in most of our Church of God congregations than the denominational congregations around us. We're not on fire any more than they are on fire. Oh, well, they believe one thing, you another. Well, you don't tell them what you believe. How do they know that? You see, We go to church, we get up and sing a song or two, we go home and say, oh, wasn't that good? And nobody gets saved. I tell you, well, today we're afraid to point out differences. You know I am. You know I'm right. We're afraid to say we're not like the Methodists. Because this, we're not like the Baptists because of this. Somebody walked up to me a while back and said, oh, you know that Baptist preacher down the road? Man, he's good. He preaches just like you do. I said, what? You see, the Church of God not only lost its soul burden, we've lost it and put something in place of it. The sinner world is confused. They want to see New Testament Christians. I believe this with all my heart. Listen, I have yet to find one old sinner, and I've been at this for a year or two, and I have yet to find one sinner that wants a preacher who will compromise with him. I've never found one. I found a lot of them say, preacher, preach it the way it is. You see, we in the Church of God don't believe everything anymore. I tell you one thing we don't believe in. We don't believe in hell anymore. We don't believe in hell. You see, if we believed in hell, do you think we would be as satisfied as we are with our children? May go out before the night's over. Into a burning fire for eternity. We're not upset over it. We got brothers and sisters that are lost. Neighbors and friends that are lost can be. How long has it been since we lost any sleep over them going to hell? You know why? We don't believe in them. What we need today is a prophet who is fearless with the truth, whose only fear is that they might displease God. God send us a prophet like that. Probably the thing that changed my ministry more than anything was, and some of you may have heard this, about 57, 58 years ago, I've got a brother and a brother-in-law in hell tonight. They were in an automobile accident. And it probably has had more effect on me than anything else. They were on their way to the stock car race. They was good, had a family. There were women were in one car, and they'd already gone to ahead of them, and the fellows was in the other car, and they was coming behind them. Had a head-on collision, and five of them went out into eternity. I went down to the funeral home. I knew Freddie Cook, funeral director. He was, his dad owned the funeral home. And I said, Freddie, I'd like to see Mervin and Bob before people come in. He said, no, Ray, you can't see him. I said, what do you mean I can't see him? I'm going to see Mervin. That was my brother. He said, no, Ray, you can't. I said, I'm going to see him, Freddie. He said, Ray, please don't make me open that casket. I said, why? He dropped his head and he said, Ray, the best I can explain to you, if you take a bunch of papers and just wad them up and strike a match to it, he burned up in the car. He said, I couldn't even put his clothes on him. I folded his clothes and laid them at the foot of in the foot of the casket. He said, please don't make me open it. I said, then let me see Bob. He said, no. I said, I want to see Bob at least. He said, no, I can't do it. I said, why? He said, Bob was thrown from the car and just cut his head off right at his eyes. He said, there's no way I could fix Bob for people to look at him. He said, I put Bob's clothes on him. He's dressed. But he said, I can't open it. I'm like some of you. I kidded myself a while. Bob and Mervyn, see, Bob married my sister, and he had been raised a Catholic, and he'd come to the Church of God there at Nitro, West Virginia, and Bob had been to the altar and made a profession, and my brother, see, we're a little old-fashioned, and the seven of us, and when we had family prayer, we didn't have it every night because all the kids weren't in, but when we had it, it started at the least and went right on up, and Dad always closed it out. I've heard Mervyn pray several times. He wasn't Christian, but he had to pray anyway. I like it. He knew how to pray. And I tried to tell myself, Mervyn knew how to pray. And then after a few days, I said, Ray, quit lying to yourself. When that car is spinning around and flames are everywhere, you're not saying, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. You're fighting for every inch of life you've got left. Bob was thrown from the car. He didn't have time to say, I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. If Bob and Mervyn could come back tonight, you think you'd have to sing an invitation? No. I'd be willing to go into eternity, not hell, but with God, if Mervyn and Bob could come back for just one service. Let me tell you, friend, hell is a reality. Hell is real. And if some of us would shed just half as many tears before we got beside that casket as we do after we get there, we'd see more souls saved. We need to get back to believing in hell. I'm still on my subject, revival for souls. Church, if we don't get revived, get on fire, let God have his way, we're not going to win souls. There's no way. What time is this service over? Nobody told me. Well, man, I could preach all night. Y'all are easy preaching. My knees aren't knocking now, man. I can go to town. You see, it takes more than a desire. It takes the Holy Spirit for soul burden, folks. We can't have the Holy Spirit without the preacher preaching on sanctification and holiness. Preachers, you need to get down to business with God if you want a soul burden. We preachers need to see about half of our church and the sinners in our community the way they really are, lost in hell. I'd like to be able to send all you preachers to hell tonight. I like sending Sunday school teachers, new choir leaders and singers. I like sending all of you to hell tonight. Just for 24 hours. You talk about a revival. Huh. You talk about a soul burden. You talk about people believing in hell. We would then. We have gotten like those around us. Oh, God, give us preachers with backbone enough to stop sugarcoating the truth and tell it like it is. God, help us that your divine will might be done in the preacher's hearts and in their lives. You see, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved because Peter preached the way he did. If you want to see people get saved, preach the word. Oh, God. Oh, God, give us preachers that's not afraid to preach. Preachers that will get in the word, Lord, and preach all the doctrines of the Bible. Lord, help us to not show favoritism. Oh, God, give us a burning compassion within our souls until we see the results that would be pleasing you. Oh, God, this lukewarm Laodicean age that we're in, some way, somehow, Shake us loose, Lord. Set the church of God on fire again. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with me?
Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be.
I'll hear thy faithless call.